Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Non-domestic oil exports contracted. However, some optimists are pointing out the slump has eased. We're going to be talking about that, the current developments in the oil markets, and also the upcoming policy decision from the Federal Reserve this coming Thursday, alongside Jeff Ng, an economist with Continuum Economics, who joins us today on the line. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us again today, and good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to everyone.
Jeff, let's talk first about these figures, these export figures that we saw, and no one was expecting a good set of numbers. Optimists, as we mentioned, are pointing out that non-oil domestic exports broke straight months of double-digit declines, but they still shrank by 8.9%. Is there any reason we should be celebrating these numbers at all, or are these still a bleak set of export figures from your estimates?
Well, I don't think there's any way we should be celebrating, because it still looks pretty bleak. Still, if you compare to the previous month, there was a 6.7% increase, if we also seasonally adjusted the figures. I think one positive is China, that there was some positive increase, 38.5% year-on-year, but elsewhere, exports to the EU and the US still registered double-digit declines.
Okay, but when you also look at the figures, it doesn't seem that much more encouraging when you look at those electronic exports actually falling by almost 26%. And I believe there's also this site that pharmaceutical exports, which was on and off a bit of a bright spot, or one of the few bright spots in the manufacturing and export space here in Singapore, also contracting over that time. Just how dire does this make the export, the export and manufacturing picture here in Singapore look? Or should we believe in some of the assertions that maybe there are signs of it starting to bottom out?
Yeah, so if you look at the declines from the electronic sector, I think they do reflect the structural decline in the sector in terms of exports everywhere. Because if there's very sluggish demand at the moment, it's one of the main drags on overall non-oil domestic exports. For this time around, there may have been some lumpy items which may have contributed to some slightly better performances. But I think going forward, there's still lots of concerns. If you look at the product breakdown given, for instance, this improvement was only due to some respectable performance in some lumpy items.
We're still speaking to Jeff Ng, an economist with Continuum Economics, and the other thing that continues to shape market sentiment, or perhaps cloud market sentiment, Jeff, has been the recent movements in the oil space. We saw oil prices recently spike, driven by those attacks on Saudi oil fields, tensions growing in the Middle East between Tehran and Riyadh also. How does this add to the uncertainties that markets and economies are trying to grapple with moving forward? How are you guys at Continuum Economics viewing these recent developments?
Sure. I think if you look at the current concern, the number one will be the slower global and China growth outlook, because if you look at yesterday's numbers, China's was showing that August figures continued to show that the economy is on the down path. Higher oil prices now complicate the fact that in a slower global growth environment, you also have now higher prices that may weigh on the inflationary pressures, and you may also complicate decision making, because you can't ease policy that great to support growth, because then you'll be worried that there'll be higher inflation. So I think it does complicate matters, and authorities everywhere, including Singapore, have to watch out for the potential of whether this is a permanent concern in terms of for inflation, or is it just a one-off, including looking at other factors like the slower global growth kind of picture.
And taking a step back, Jeff, from those inflationary pressures that you just highlighted, when you take that away, there's still the question on the demand side of whether or not the demand for oil moving forward will pick up anytime soon, or if it'll even decline because of some of these global growth concerns right now. Can you talk to us about those particular dynamics?
Yeah, so I think demand side, it also depends on, for instance, how one or two of the major emerging markets like China, how the demand will be. I think overall we still expect the demand to be relatively stable, because there's not too much demand in terms of world additional to grapple with. So a lot will then depend on the supply side dynamics, which if there's any supply disruptions, then it will lead to higher oil prices. And I think, of course, smaller economies like Singapore, I think definitely there could be some impact as well.
Yeah, and can you talk to us about that, elaborate on that a bit more, Jeff, actually? What kind of impact could these higher oil prices have on Singapore's economy? On one hand, maybe we could it actually benefit, say, the oil and gas sector? But on the other hand, could it actually add to some unwanted pressures on the price front here in Singapore?
Yes, because if you look at Singapore's economy, it does export a lot of refined oil products, and oil-related industries are also a big part of the Singapore economy. So whenever there's higher oil prices, I think it does benefit a bit of the oil sector because it does help to then increase the prices of the oil products and the margins. So I think that there could be some potential benefits for this part of the economy. And for the other non-oil-related sectors, I think they may have to grapple with higher costs, which may then impact on profitability.
Net-net, though, Jeff, are higher oil prices a net positive or net negative for Singapore's economy? What's your take on that?
I think this time round, I think that it could be a bit of a net negative, because in other instances, it could be that when the oil prices are very depressed and there's a rebound, it's a signal of some rebound in demand. This time around, it's more supply side led and it's more like a disruptive effect. So I think especially for the short term, when oil prices increase, some of the refined oil or oil product exporters may find that their margins get squeezed before they increase their prices as well. So it could be short-term negative before some of the negative starts to dissipate a bit.
We're still speaking to Mr. Jeff Ng, an economist at Continuum Economics, and I want to shift to the event on Thursday morning. It seems that all these developments in oil and also exports have overshadowed the fact that the Fed is set to make their policy decision on Thursday morning. However, when you look at the remarks of some of the regional Fed officials, Jeff, it seems that some of them aren't too convinced that a rate cut is needed. What's Continuum Economics expecting from Jerome Powell and friends come Thursday morning? Do you think we might be in for a rate cut, or is that still to be determined?
Yeah, so for us, we expect two more rate cuts, one in September and one in December. The outlook for 2020 could be more complicated, which will mean that we may be in a bit of a wait and watch. Markets currently, they are pricing in around three rate cuts by between now and the end of 2020, and mostly in September and December as well. I think if you look at the economy, I think inflation continues to be quite soft, around 1 plus, but less than 2%, around 1.7% last. But it's not too much big of a concern, given that it's at around healthy levels or not too low for them to cut too aggressively. And if you look at, for instance, the economy, it's only the consumption, that domestic consumption, that's supporting the U.S. economy, but the investments and exports are starting to drag a little. So on balance, I think things are not too bad in the U.S. It's, the slowdown for the U.S. is from above trend towards trend growth and maybe below trend next year. So that's why I suppose some of the Fed officials may not be too convinced that a rate cut is needed for now.
And finally, Jeff, looking forward, we are coming to the last quarter of the year. What do you think are some of the biggest risks that markets and even the global economies need to be cognizant of, both either in a global sense or even out here in Singapore locally?
Yeah, sure. I think if we look at the fundamentals, the main concern will be a slowing China economy, because yesterday's figure with industrial production continuing to stay just above 4% on a year-on-year basis for the second consecutive month. You've had the Chinese consumer not spending as well, with retail sales very weak, and infrastructure spending remains pretty poor as well. So if the China slowdown persists and the growth goes below 6%, I think the global economy, especially Asia economies and Singapore, which is very much reliant on China demand, I think that will face significant downsides as well. I think in terms of, let's say, other risks, I think the risk of a policy mistake is always there, because we have had some better news over the coming, or rather the past few weeks, that U.S. and China are going to talk and negotiate. But, you know, any of these event risks, like an escalation in the U.S.-China trade war, escalation in tensions in the Middle East, even if the Japan and South Korea trade tensions start to escalate again, I think all these have a negative impact on the Singapore economy as well.
All right. Jeff Ng from Continuum Economics, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Primetime to help us make sense of all these numbers, from local exports to oil prices and the Fed's upcoming decision. We appreciate the time, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.